All right, welcome back everybody for another deep dive. Today we're tackling some research that could really shake things up in how we treat high blood pressure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a study from the Journal of the American Heart Association. It's called NO1C S1928 Phosphorylation of KV1.2 Channel Controls Vascular Reactivity and Blood Pressure.
Wow, what a mouthful.
Right, I know.
But it's good stuff.
It is. And the findings are super fascinating, basically.
Yeah.
They found that changing just one tiny little part of a protein can have this massive impact on blood pressure.
It's amazing.
So we're going to be talking about all the possibilities that this opens up for new medications and all that.
New treatments.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So before we get too deep into the weeds, maybe we should
good idea.
Back up for a second and explain what this protein even is.
For sure.
What did they do to it?
Okay.
I think I'm already a little lost.
Okay, so let's start with something called KV1.2 channels.
Okay.
And these are basically like tiny little gates on the surface of your cells. And their job is to control the flow of calcium.
Oh.
Okay, calcium is essential for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about how it affects the muscles in your blood vessels.
Okay, so if these channels are controlling calcium, then they're basically controlling how much your blood vessels constrict, right?
Exactly. Now, the protein we're going to be talking about today is called NO1C, and it's a key part of this channel.
Okay.
It's kind of like the main gatekeeper, making sure that the right amount of calcium gets in.
Gotcha.
Now, the researchers, what they found is that there's a specific spot on this protein, a single amino acid called serine 1928, that could be modified by this process called phosphorylation.
Okay, wait, phosphorylation, break that down for me. What does that even mean?
Okay, so think of it like adding like a little tag to the protein, a little sticky note.
Okay.
So it doesn't change the protein itself, but it can change how it interacts with other molecules.
Yep.
And in this case, the phosphorylation tag on serine 1928 changes how the I1C gatekeeper works.
Okay.
Which then affects how much calcium gets into the cell.
So this tiny little sticky note can like change how this whole gate works.
Exactly.
That's wild. But how does that lead to high blood pressure? How did that research come in?
There's another player here.
Okay.
It's a hormone.
Oh, okay.
Called angiotensin II, or Ang-2 for short.
Ang-2, yeah.
You've probably heard of it before.
Yeah, I feel like Ang-2 is kind of a familiar foe.
Yeah, definitely.
In the world of hypertension research.
Exactly. So it's known to increase blood pressure.
Right.
And one way it does its dirty work is by increasing phosphorylation.
Okay.
At that specific site on I1C, that serine 1928 we were just talking about.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Ang-2 is slapping on more sticky notes, like telling the gate to stay open longer.
Okay.
Let more calcium in it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So more calcium equals more muscle contraction, which means tighter blood vessels.
Tighter blood vessels.
Higher blood pressure.
And higher blood pressure, yeah.
Okay.
It's all starting to make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's all coming together.
So
to really understand how important this phosphorylation site is.
Right.
They use genetically modified mice where the serine 1928 site was altered.
Right.
So it couldn't be phosphorylated.
Couldn't be phosphorylated at all.
At all. So they basically removed the spot.
Took away the spot.
Where the sticky note would go.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They called these mice S1928A mice.
Okay.
And this let them see what would happen when angiotensin tried to do its thing, but without being able to stick on those extra phosphorylation tags.
So what happened?
Right.
Was Ang-2 still able to increase blood pressure in these mice?
That's the amazing part. It wasn't nearly as effective.
Oh, wow.
In the S1928A mice, Ang test caused a much smaller increase in calcium influx.
Okay.
And blood vessel constriction compared to the regular mice.
Wow.
So it basically confirms that phosphorylation at serine 1928 is a crucial step in how Ang-2 raises blood pressure.
That's so cool. So they were able to pinpoint this one tiny modification and show that it's this major driver of high blood pressure.
Yeah, it's like finding the exact switch that controls the whole system.
Okay, so where do we go from here? What does this mean for treating hypertension?
That's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
If we could find a way to block phosphorylation at that specific site, maybe develop a drug that prevents those sticky notes from being attached, we could potentially have a much more targeted and effective treatment for hypertension.
Wow, a drug that like basically shuts down Ang-2's ability to raise blood pressure at the source.
Exactly.
That's amazing. But is that even possible? I mean, how do you even target something that small?
It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
But the fact that we now know that this specific site is so critical opens up this whole new avenue for research and drug development.
Right.
It's like having a much clearer roadmap now.
I love that.
Yeah. It's really like we've been trying to fix a car.
Yeah.
Without even knowing how the engine works.
Right. Right.
And now we're finally starting to like get a glimpse under the hood.
I love that analogy. Okay. So speaking of engines, this research didn't stop at Ang 2.
Right.
They also looked at something called myogenic tone, which honestly sounds a little more intimidating than it probably is.
It's really not that complicated.
Okay.
So myogenic tone is basically the ability of blood vessels to constrict on their own in response to changes in pressure.
Okay.
Like an internal pressure gauge.
Okay, so like if the pressure goes up, the blood vessels just kind of tighten up automatically to compensate?
Exactly.
Oh.
It's a key mechanism for regulating blood flow.
Gotcha.
And what the researchers found is that in mice with hypertension, this myogenic tone was much higher than normal.
Okay.
But in the S1928A mice, the ones that couldn't be phosphorylated at a key site, the myogenic tone was normal.
Interesting. So even without Ang2 like messing things up, that phosphorylation site still seems to play a role in how blood vessels react to pressure.
That's right. It suggests that serine 1928 phosphorylation is involved in more than just the Ang2 pathway.
Okay.
It seems to be a key regulator of blood vessel constriction in general.
Okay, so we've got Ang2, like, slapping on sticky notes.
Right.
We've got this myogenic tone thing that's also influenced by phosphorylation.
Yeah,
It seems like this one tiny spot on the Ang1c protein is, like, at the center of a whole web of blood pressure regulation.
It is.
Is there anything else that affects it?
Well, they actually tested another hormone that's known to raise blood pressure called noradrenaline. And guess what?
What?
They found similar results. Blocking phosphorylation at serine 1928 reduced the blood pressure response to noradrenaline too.
So it's not just one hormone. It's like a whole team of them.
The whole team.
All converging on this one spot.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really highlights the complexity of biological systems.
Yeah.
But it also means that targeting this one site could potentially have a really broad impact on blood pressure regulation.
Regardless of what's triggering the increase.
Regardless of the trigger.
That's what makes this so exciting.
Right.
It's not just about understanding one pathway. It's like you're finding this potential master switch that could control a whole range of factors.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier that this research could lead to new treatments. How would that even work?
Okay, so imagine a drug that specifically blocks phosphorylation at serine 1928.
Okay.
So it's essentially preventing those sticky notes from being attached.
Mm-hmm.
So Ang2, noradrenaline, and other triggers wouldn't be able to increase calcium influx and blood vessel constriction as effectively.
So it's like putting a shield around that critical spot on the protein.
Exactly. Protecting it from all the troublemakers.
Yeah, I like that.
Of course, developing such a drug is a long and complex process, but this research gives us a really clear target to aim for.
Yeah.
It's like we have a treasure map now that leads to the potential gold mine of new hypertension therapies.
That's a great analogy.
But this study also has some interesting findings about sex differences, too.
Oh, yeah. What was that all about?
Right. So the supplemental material had some fascinating observations.
Okay.
They noticed that male and female mice responded differently to Ang2.
Okay.
Female mice already had larger clusters of the A1C protein at baseline.
Oh, interesting.
And Ang2 didn't increase them further.
So the females were already operating at a higher level.
It seems that way.
Does that mean they're less affected by Ang2?
At least in this particular study, it seems that way.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that we can't always assume that what works in male mice will work the same way in females.
And that's pretty important.
Yeah.
Considering hypertension affects men and women.
Absolutely. It highlights the need for more research into these sex differences in blood pressure regulation.
Totally.
Like, why are females seemingly less sensitive to Ang2 in this context?
Right.
Could this be related to sex hormones?
Yeah.
Other factors. There's a whole new layer of complexity to explore there.
It's amazing how much we still don't know even about something as fundamental as blood pressure.
I know, right?
But this deep dive has really shown how powerful it can be to focus on the tiny details.
Absolutely.
Like the molecular mechanisms that drive these processes.
Yeah. It's a great example of how basic research can lay the groundwork for major breakthroughs in medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding how things work at the molecular level is crucial if we want to develop really effective and targeted treatments.
For sure. And this study is just the beginning, right? Like it opens up so many new avenues for research.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if similar mechanisms might be at play in other conditions where calcium signaling is involved.
That's a great point. We've been talking about blood vessels, but KV1.2 channels are found in many other cell types throughout the body.
Oh, right.
Like the heart and the nervous system.
So could this phosphorylation site be involved in other diseases as well?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
You know, this research opens up a whole new world of possibilities for understanding how calcium signaling and phosphorylation work together in different contexts.
Yeah.
It's like we found a new piece of the puzzle, and now we need to see where else it fits.
I love that. It's like a scientific domino effect.
Yeah.
One discovery leads to another.
Exactly.
This deep dive has really been an eye-opener for me, and I'm sure our listeners are feeling the same way.
Yeah, it's really exciting to think about, like, where this could go next.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, imagine if we could apply this to other diseases, too, like heart disease, maybe even neurological disorders.
It really makes you realize how connected, like, everything is in the body, you know? But before we go down too many rabbit holes, let's recap what we've learned.
Yeah, good idea.
About this specific research.
Okay, so the key takeaway here is that they've identified this single amino acid on this protein called UN1C that plays this crucial role in blood pressure regulation.
Okay.
And this amino acid serine, 1928, can be modified by phosphorylation.
Right, the sticky notes.
The sticky notes, exactly.
That can change how the protein works.
Exactly.
And we know that Ang2, which increases blood pressure, works by increasing phosphorylation.
Exactly. It's like Ang2 is telling the I1C protein to open the calcium gates wider, leading to more muscle contraction in the blood vessels and ultimately higher blood pressure.
But the really cool part is that they were able to create mice that couldn't be phosphorylated at that site.
Right.
So basically blocking Ang2's ability to raise blood pressure.
Exactly. And not only that, but they also found that phosphorylation site is involved in other mechanisms that regulate blood pressure, like the myogenic tone we talked about.
Right. So it's not just about Ang2. It's like a more general control mechanism.
Exactly. It is.
And they even found similar results with noradrenaline, too.
They did.
So it's like this one tiny spot on the protein is like the central hub.
It is. It is.
For all these blood pressure signals.
It really highlights the power of targeted therapies.
Yeah.
Like if we can develop a drug that specifically blocks phosphorylation at that site.
Right.
We could have a much more effective and precise way to treat hypertension.
Which could be a game changer for...
It would be huge.
Millions of people.
Yeah, for sure.
But as with any new treatment, there are always questions.
Of course.
And challenges. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the things that they still need to figure out?
Well, for one thing, we need to make sure that blocking phosphorylation at this site doesn't have any unintended consequences. Remember those KV1.2 channels?
Right.
They're found in other parts of the body too, not just blood vessels.
Right, the heart and Merkel's system.
Exactly. So we need to make sure that we're not disrupting other important processes while we're trying to lower blood pressure.
Right, right. We don't want to fix one thing and break another.
Exactly. There's also the question of how to actually develop a drug that can target this site effectively.
Right.
You know, it's a challenging feat of like molecular engineering.
Right.
And then there's that whole issue of sex differences that this study highlighted.
Yeah, we need to understand why females seem to respond differently to Ang2.
Yeah.
And what that means for developing these new treatments.
It's a reminder that like one size fits all approaches don't always work.
Right.
We need to consider the unique biology of individuals, including sex differences, when we're designing new therapies.
For sure. Well, this deep dive has really been an incredible journey.
It has.
Into this microscopic world of proteins.
I know, it's amazing.
And how they influence something.
It is.
As vital as blood pressure, so what's like the one thing you hope our listeners take away from this episode?
I hope they come away with an appreciation for the complexity and the elegance of biological systems.
Mm.
You know, even the smallest changes at the molecular level can have these huge effects on our health.
Right.
And by understanding these mechanisms, we can open up all these new possibilities for treating diseases in these more targeted and effective ways.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, to our listeners,
yeah.
If you're feeling inspired to learn more,
Yes.
Be sure to check out the show notes. We'll have a link to the full research article there.
Yes, definitely do that.
You can dive even deeper into this world of I1C, phosphorylation, and blood pressure regulation.
All the good stuff. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Well, it was great chatting, as always.
Yeah, this was a really fun one.
It was.
I always love talking about this stuff, so. Yeah. Until next time, stay curious.